second time in 2 days, I got to sing It Is Well With My Soul at the pastor's conference yesterday afternoon. Very much heard. I lost my voice singing then. I'm about to lose my voice singing here tonight. And there's an aspect here as we think about that song finishes on the thought of the Lord coming again. But the Bible has a lot to say about God coming again. Think about the New Testament. That's where it's really clear. You know what most of the minor prophets are about? About predicting the day of the Lord, in which Jesus Christ comes back. And that's really what I'm reading at in my personal Bible time, Bible reading and prophets. Really kind of leaping out. Think about you right here. We have to walk by as I grab my notes and I've got to sing the first stanza of the song. Right here is a testimony. The Lord is coming back. People for his name. You know what? The devil can't stand. He can't stand the reminder of people of God. Jesus Christ ruling for him. We have much to do with this. Let's take our Bibles. Turn to James chapter 5. James 5 as we quote this passage here. Slowly. Verse 16. James 5:16. The Bible says here, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. So here's this aspect. Let's look at the first half of that verse. Next half, we're willing next time. And we have a mandate for us. It's in the present tense, so which means not something that you do once, but is an ongoing activity that the church needs to be engaged in. That is confessing your faults. One, two, three. Think about it. The old sacrificial system, if you committed a sin, what'd you have to do? You brought a sacrifice. You brought it to the temple, and you brought that sacrifice up to the temple. You say, well, yeah, we brought a sacrifice. What do you have to do? You know what Leviticus told you had to do? It told you that you had to take out a knife, and you're going to cut. It wasn't the priest who killed it. You killed it. Okay. That gets a little personal. You know what you had to do before you killed that lamb? Put your hands on the head of that animal and confess. The public, the other people, you will confess your sins. Think of Psalm 33 where he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, now forgive us the iniquity. We see different examples in the scripture. How about the baptism of John? Then people were baptized. It was the baptism of repentance. You know what he said in Matthew 3:6? They were baptized in Jordan, confessing their sins. In their heart, that acknowledgement. In Acts chapter 19, it says that many believed, came, and confessed, and showed their deeds. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God. An aspect to which we have some examples in the Old Testament and in the New Testament of some public confessions. Catholics, they'll confess their sins. They go into a little booth, they confess to a priest. Right? Lutherans, they have a formal liturgy as a part of their service in which every week they confess their sins. But it's broken. Personal, that becomes and gets to be. You know, the Methodists made confession of sin one to another a regular part of their It was one of the catalysts that was back in the Wesleys and the holiness movement, and then it really spread and grew, and God used it mightily. Think about what's required. Heart change, all right, very good. Yes, there is this aspect of repentance, willing to turn from your sin. I have found over and over again someone who says, oh yeah, I know I need to return, I want to repent from my sin, but they're never willing to make that up. It doesn't go very far, does it? It often is a very shallow. We have repentance, we need that, yes. Something else. Melody doesn't. Nobody likes to talk about sin. Nobody likes to talk about sin. That's that. It really does take a lot of humility. Of course, this would be an appropriate God-focused, God-glorifying. Hard time to get up and talk all about your sin. All the things that you've done. And it gets more the focus on sin than it does on what God has done. But the reality here is God wants us to have a humility, a repentance towards Him. Like in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, oh, what indignation. We get a little bit of fire in our bosom against sin, and it's against our own sin. We take the finger and we say, thou art the man. Get that kind of spirit about us. Oftentimes we don't really care what the consequences are. We just want to give. We don't care that anybody else knows about what's happened because we are getting it right with God. You know, I think one of the main reasons why we don't want to confess our sin, people might hold us accountable. Are we really going to go back? Just go down to the altar. Anybody else have a decision? Satan can use as a temptation. You go back, nobody knows. It'd be a real stumbling block. Think about it. Many times, people sin against others, and then they kind of just brush it under the rug. There's well, we'll just act as if it never happened. We have marriages, we have relationships, too proud to confess or sin. That's because if you know your brother has ought, you ought to go to that brother and you ought to confess. You acknowledge to them the offense, the sin. You know what that does in relationships? When you confess or sin, it makes it better. Embarrassing using your children after you confess to them about your sin, about losing your temper just earlier. There's something that it puts up a little hedge of protection. It adds in that layer of accountability. Think about the sins that James might have wanted the people that he was writing to confess. Think about some of the things that were in there. He said there are wars and fightings. Those would get cleared up, wouldn't they? We started confessing our sins to each other and then praying. How about sins of the tongue? I'm always saying the thing I shouldn't say. But let's use the tongue for the right thing. Acknowledge and condemn that sin openly. It adds another layer. How about the sin of hypocrisy? He said you claim something, but you don't have anything to back it up. Sometimes we confess to each other, you know, I'm a hypocrite. That'll really put a... You know what confession does to hypocrisy? Puts a knife right in it. Oh, man. Hard to confess sin to you. If you're being bullied, you can be a hypocrite. How you do that? That's part of it. You're hoping that your open honesty looks honest, but you really haven't. How about presumption on the Lord? Remember James was talking about that in chapter 4, how you sin against God by assuming today to this or that will go by and sell. About materialism, about focus on gold and silver and things. How about favoritism? That's what this that's a knife that's hard to go back to that sin, isn't it? How about lust of the flesh? The lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. You know where sin thrives like mold. It needs a dark, damp place. You take off the exposure to it, and you expose the air to it and the sunlight to it, and God will use that kind of accountability to help you to change your life. You know what RU is about? Confess our sin. I think there's an aspect that these things have to be done appropriately and properly, but I think the whole aspect of discipleship relationship, accountability relationship, an RU setting, it's meant for us to be open and honest and confess and say, this is what God is dealing with me. You know what? Why should we confess our sin? Okay, all right, that's good enough. That settles it. The text goes on and he'll tell us what's right, but he also provides reasons for why we ought to do it. Confess your sins and pray. If you don't confess to one another, how can someone pray? Well, prayer doesn't mean anything. Is that what we believe? It's not going to help me if other people know about it and can pray for me? Wishful thinking. People, what's the Bible say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You realize you are desperate. I need the people of God. I need my brothers. I need my sisters. I need them praying for me. I am in a battle. The roaring lion is you know what, I'm not some elephant. It does make a difference. Then we find here in this aspect, he says, in the last bit, he says, why should we do these things that he may do? We come back to this element of passage has been dealing with using these language of healing from sickness or from weakness. We'll talk about what is that talking about, all that aspect. And in some ways, I could probably convince you one way or the other based on how I present the evidence. If I told you outside of two verses, if the New Testament is not quoting an Old Testament passage, it almost always this word heal refers to physical. Well, that would settle the case. The reality of that evidence is the fact that it's only limited to the narrative. The Gospels and Acts, we find the healings of Jesus, and that's where that is found. But we do find that in quoting the Old Testament, this word is used in a spiritual sense. And actually, the word heal is used in the epistles three times. And the other two, outside of this one, are both spiritual healing, not physical. So the kind of the question comes in, I just ask this question, why is it that the word healing here only occurs three times in all the epistolary literature? And why is it that it never refers to physical in the epistles? So there's an aspect that comes in, you can paint it one way, you can paint it another way. You say, what's going on here? What's God doing in this aspect? passage that we're going to look at Sunday night, Lord willing, is Jesus Christ, who bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. You sang tonight, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross, the Savior made me whole. An aspect we know that when he's talking about Isaiah chapter 6, he says, "Let make this heart, the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Here's a warning that's picked up multiple times in the New Testament. Go ahead. Quoting an Old Testament verse, but quoting an Old Testament verse, that's one that's mentioned multiple times, of people who are persisting in sin. They will not turn to the Lord, and by being turned, they would be healed. So, does this word heal have the same idea along the lines of forgiveness in verse 15? It shall be forgiven. Beyond just forgiveness, but there's the healing of relationships and the healing that comes from the divisiveness of sin. And I could point to other aspects of verses of scripture that you can feel in this. I think you understand. So it really doesn't solve the issue that we have in this passage. Reality does point to it, says, whatever sense we need, it could be on one side. We experience it. The Bible says, some of you are sick. Because of bitterness. Because of a hardened heart against them. I find two fingers and then you've got a palm. Alright, we're like, ugh. Not at all, not at all. That's not the way I think. But the reality is that the Lord can cause us to make us to say, you know what, God? I tell you, my son Isaiah, he was born with a birth defect. It wasn't because he sinned. And I don't really believe it was because I sinned. I'm going to tell you, God tells me. I encourage you. Confess your faults, God. Ask him to pray for you. Ask for the Lord's blessing. That's it. It's just always an opportunity to say, maybe I'm a little introspective. Maybe more so than I ought to be, but that's just the way I'm kind of wired. If something's going wrong, the Lord, in the end of my heart, I want to make sure that it's not chastised. Get that squared away. If you know it's not, then praise God that you can glorify him through it. Can live to the glory of God, even if he determined you to have that sickness or have that illness. You know, God promises to do a mighty work. Elect what God commands. That is our sickness. Let other people aware of the things that we have. Let us go to prayer in that regard. We'll pass out some awards.